The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. Apologies for the late start. We had a technical problem. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me, and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? If you make a real effort to seek relationship with Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, Jesus. The Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today's program is The Miracle of Yahushua's Death, Part 1. I'm going to skip the overview and I'm going to skip the introduction. The questions from last week's program. Number one, and yet with all that has occurred, no one has learned or listened. Why do you think people will ever change? It's been a progressive degeneration over 6,000 years. Satan has been confusing and the demonic have been confusing and corrupting things. Why do I think people will change? Because a few people, when they hear the accurate truth, do change. And I believe that the more that we can share the accurate truth, the more people will change. Can anyone live free of sin? Yes, Yeshua did. Difficult to answer it this way, but I don't know how else to answer it. I haven't lived completely free of sin for the last 18 years or so, but I've lived largely free of sin most of the time. Why did they make arrangements for his death? Yah made the arrangements for Yeshua's death in order for the new covenant, the new priesthood, etc. Why does it help to put this grape juice on your body in different places? The grape juice is symbolic of the blood of the covenant, Yeshua's blood, and when we do that, the demonic realm is reminded of the sacrifice that Yeshua made, the authority that we have, and then they are unable to touch us. If so inaccurate, why are churches still around in abundance? Well, the churches are teaching error, so Satan's happy for them to be around. If you're really seeking to draw close to the Almighty, you need to get out of the church. So today's program is titled The Miraculous Death of Yahushua. The full article with images on the top of the website menu. So if you go to www.endtimeissueministries.org, that's endtimeissueministries.org, one word, you'll find this full article with the photographs. In summary, Yeshua, whose name means Yah is salvation, he's incorrectly called Jesus by most people, died on a stake, not a cross, exactly over the Ark of the Covenant that had been hidden roughly 616 years earlier by Jeremiah in 589 BC in a cave 20 feet below the execution site in solid rock. The earthquake as Yahushua died split the rock from the stakehold to the top of the ark, so that when the soldier pierced the side of Yahushua after he died, blood and water ran out all the way down to land on the mercy seat of the ark. This ushered in a new priesthood, a new covenant, and a new atoning sacrifice for sin. All told, a major miracle of pre-planning by the Almighty Creator with the full knowledge of Yahushua. This broadcast discusses the details of this miracle in some detail. By way of introduction, biblical accounts of the death of Yahushua contain a number of facts that do not seem important, such as the earthquake and the soldier piercing Yahushua's side. But in fact, these are all part of a miraculous plan initiated by Father Yah at least 1,476 years earlier. A couple of key points. Yahushua was a Hebrew. The name Yahushua means Yah is salvation. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is the true name of the Almighty. Jesus, the Lord, and God are pagan, blasphemous names and should not be used. The correct names of all the Bible characters are not Greek derivatives, as commonly used. They are derived from Hebrew. These corrected names are used throughout my writings. Regarding Jesus, it is important to realize that this is derived from the Greek Iesus, meaning blessed of Zeus. Yeshua was a Hebrew and cannot have been called Iesus. Yeshua is translated Joshua in the Old Testament, but this is also inaccurate. It's vital to understand that Yah is salvation. Clearly states that Yah and not Yahushua is responsible for salvation. Yahushua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The article on which this broadcast is based was originally written last Saturday, the 3rd of October 2020, which was the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles this year. In this context, it is important to note that Yahushua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you want to celebrate his birthday, that is when to do it. Christmas is a pagan, that is a satanic feast, the birthday of the sun god. The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was constructed in the wilderness under direction of Moshe, you would know him as Moses, as directed by the Almighty Creator, see Exodus 25 and 37. The Ark was located in the tabernacle in the wilderness and then in Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. It was subsequently hidden by Jeremiah in 586 BC before the invasion of Jerusalem by Babylon, and it was found by Ron Wyatt in 1982. The Jewish Virtual Library reports that the construction of the Ark is commanded by the Almighty to Moshe while the Jews were still camped at Sinai, Exodus 25:10-22, 37:1-9. The Ark was a box with the dimensions of 2.5 cubits in length by 1.5 cubits in height, 1.5 cubits in width. A cubit is about 18 inches. It was constructed of acacia wood and was plated with pure gold, inside and out. On the bottom of the box, 4 gold rings were attached, through which 2 poles, also made of acacia and coated in gold, were put. The family of Kehath, of the tribe of Levi, would carry the ark on their shoulders using these poles. Covering the ark was the kapparet, the mercy seat, a pure gold covering that was 2.5 by 1.5 cubits. Attached to the caperet were two sculpted cherubs, also made of pure gold. The two cherubs faced one another, and their wings, which wrapped around their bodies, touched between them. Go to the JewishVirtualLibrary.org, the Ark of the Covenant, for more information. Link is on the website. An artist's rendering of the Ark of the Covenant, based on the description given by Ron Wyatt, the only human being in this age known to have seen the Ark and lived, is on the website or on LinkedIn. In the context of this article, the significance of the Ark is that the induction of a new high priest required that the blood of the offering be sprinkled on the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark. This was also required when the covenant of Moshe was initiated, and also was required every year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, in other words, about 10 days before this broadcast, when the blood of the Ram of Atonement was sprinkled on the mercy seat as an atonement for the sin of the people, and then sprinkled on the people. When the Ark disappeared, it was no longer possible to induct a legitimate high priest, nor was it possible to make an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. Yeshua died in order to make these rites possible again, but this was only possible if blood was placed on the mercy seat. That is the essence of this article. That was also the only way that a new covenant could be initiated. Ron Wyatt, 1982. The Ark of the Covenant and the execution site were discovered by Ron Wyatt. Google Wyatt Museum, Ron Wyatt, in about 1982, and affirmed by Jonathan Gray. Ron was a spirit-filled and spirit-led amateur archaeologist who, amongst other things, found Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, the Red Sea crossing site, the real Mount Sinai, Sodom and Gomorrah, and numerous other findings that prove the historical accuracy of Genesis and Exodus and other biblical historical passages. Jonathan is a professional archaeologist and believer who initially doubted Ron's claims but set out to refute or verify them and eventually came to recognize their validity. Jonathan went on to publish a series of books and videos that supported and confirmed Ron's findings. Jonathan also undertook his own spirit-led research and has published numerous books. See the Before Us website. In particular, his books on Dead Men's Secrets and its update provide accounts of a huge number of archaeological finds that prove that the world before the flood was highly sophisticated and that mankind truly was created to be highly powerful and highly intelligent. Jonathan has also published books on the world before, during, and after the flood, and on many other topics. If you cannot access the books at Before Us, I can assist you. I have copies available, and bound versions of many of the books are available on Amazon. Skull Hill, Golgotha. There's a photo on the website, on the Miracle of Yeshua's Death webpage at the top of the menu on the website. Ron Wyatt was shown that the Ark of the Covenant was located directly below an escarpment with the appearance of a human skull, known as Skull Hill or Golgotha, as in Matityahu, which means gift of Yah, which you may know as Matthew, chapter 22, verse 33, and Yahuchanan, meaning Yah has graced, you may know him as John, 1917. The site is about 200 meters from the garden tomb where the body of Yahushua was laid after his death. I've been to that location, and it's a long way from the temple. In considering what follows, it is important to recognize that Yahushua was executed on a stake and not a cross. The cross is a pagan, that is, satanic symbol. See the Not Cross page on the website. The Greek word translated cross in the New Testament is staros, meaning stake. See the links on the website. The stake was located precisely above the Ark of the Covenant. See the drawing on the website. Ron White discovered that the stake on which Yeshua died was precisely above the Ark of the Covenant, which was in a cave about 20 feet below the execution site. In other words, precision arrangements for Yahushua's death. Ron White was shown by the Almighty where the Ark of the Covenant was located. Excuse me. As he excavated to reach the Ark, he exposed an execution site with four stake holes in the rock. The uppermost hole, higher up the rock face, and with a crack through the hole with a black stain running down the crack. It was also the remains of a building of worship with an altar stone and a large round stone, which turned out to be the stone that was rolled in front of the burial vault where Yeshua was placed after he died. The so-called Garden Tomb is about 200 meters from the execution site. Folks, I can't over-dramatize, I can't overstress how amazing it is that Yeshua died exactly above the Ark of the Covenant, that his blood ran, that an earthquake crack was formed, his blood ran down the crack. It's absolutely flabbergasting, the precision of those arrangements. Ron tunneled through the rock until he eventually found a rock-filled chamber and discovered the temple furniture, including the Ark of the Covenant, under coverings and rocks. The crack from the stake hole entered the cave through the roof, and the stone lid over the container of the Ark of the Covenant was also cracked, such that a black stain was present in the crack in the ceiling, on the side of the crack in the cover, and on the mercy seat. Ron took a sample, and laboratory testing established that this was human blood, but it only had the chromosomes from the mother. There were no chromosomes from the father, only the one chromosome necessary for male gender. This verifies the virgin birth of Yeshua. The truth about Yeshua's death above the Ark of the Covenant only became known in 1982. It is vital to understand that the truth about Yeshua's death and the blood on the mercy seat only became known via Ron White in 1982. Before that, there was no knowledge of this that I'm aware of. It is also important to understand that only Ron White saw this reality. So one is reliant on the testimony of the Almighty through his set-apart spirit to confirm this. Accordingly, there's all sorts of wrong thinking and attribution of magical properties to Yeshua that has seriously corrupted mankind's understanding of these issues. I hope that you have got a little bit of a picture of what I see here. It's just absolutely amazing that all the foreplanning that went into this, for Yeshua to die in precisely that way. If he died any other way, if he died any other place, there couldn't have been a new covenant. There couldn't have been a new atonement for sin. The site is over a kilometer from the temple. The execution site adjacent to the site of the Garden Tomb is located over a kilometer from the Temple Mount. I've been there. Some major logistics were required to transport the Ark underground from the temple before the destruction of the temple to the cave where the Ark was hidden. See the map from Google on the website. There's a warren of tunnels. Ron subsequently established that the cave was in a warren of tunnels that run from under the Temple Mount and therefore the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was located before it was removed. In other words, the Ark had to be transported over a kilometer through this maze of tunnels to the cave where Ron found it. This means that there were serious logistics in getting the Ark to this location. Remember, it's quite a sizable object. The caves result from the excavation of limestone for construction of the city, so the cave where the Ark was hidden was excavated by human beings exactly under the site where hundreds of years later the execution site would be located. Folks, it's just one piece of precision and forward planning after another. The place of the skull lent itself to being an execution site. So the people who excavated the limestone, who made the cave, had to have been led by the spirit to make the cave exactly where they made it. Long before Jeremiah moved the ark there, and long before the Romans set up an execution site there, and long before Yeshua died there. Yirmiyahu hid the ark in 586 BC. Ron White established that Jeremiah, meaning whom Yah has appointed, hid the ark in about 586 BC, immediately before the invasion of Jerusalem by the army of Babylon. What is important to note here is that the Almighty had to have an exact plan at the time Yirmiyahu did this as to where Yahshua was to die and the manner in which he was to die. Yirmiyahu was led by the Spirit of Yah. Yirmiyahu had to be led by the Spirit of Yah through the maze of caves to find the exact cave under the site of the side of the hill called Golgotha and on the side of the main road out of Jerusalem. It is highly unlikely that there was any map of the tunnels or any other way that Yirmiyahu could have found the exact cave without being led by Yah. Again, this requires that Yah knew then his exact intention for the death of Yahshua, the Roman execution site. The Romans had to have established an execution site at the exact location. So one has to conclude that the Roman leader who designated that precise location for an execution site must also have been led by Yah. Folks, please try and grasp what I'm sharing with you here, the extent to which Father managed and guided this process. A new stakehold directly above the ark. See the diagram on the website. There were three stakeholds on the same level, and then the hole for the stake on which Yeshua died was freshly excavated so that it was exactly above the ark that no one knew was there. The soldier who directed this, again, had to have been directed by Yah. Yah removed his set-apart spirit for Yeshua to die. Yeshua was filled with the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah, Matityahu 3:16, which came upon him when Yahuchanan immersed him. As such, it was not possible for him to die. When the suffering was complete, Yah therefore removed his spirit from Yahushua, and Yahushua cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me?" Meaning, "My darling mighty one, my darling mighty one, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matityahu 27:46. In order for there to have been water and blood to flow from the wound inflicted by the soldier with his spear, Yehuchanan 19:34, Yeshua died of a ruptured heart. So great was his grief at being deserted by Yah. See ywmmadison.org, Jesus died of a broken heart, the medical cause of Jesus' death. The link is on the website. This was necessary for there to be sufficient blood, thinned by water, to flow about 20 feet down the earthquake crack and onto the mercy seat. There was no margin for error. The sighting of the stake hole was precise and miraculous. The earthquake split the rock. As Yahshua died, an earthquake split the rock mass through the stake hole all the way down to the cave and cracked the stone lid on the stone box in which the ark was hidden. Psalm 22:1-31, Mark 15:33-41, Luke 23:44-49, Yahuch Yohanan 19:28-50:30. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Yahshua cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my El, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias, Elisha. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Yahshua, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Matthew 27:45-51. Note again that the correct translation of El is my darling, mighty one, or my darling, demonstrating the depth of the relationship that existed between Yahshua and Yah. If you've ever read the Bible with some serious intent, you may have wondered about some of the details of Yahshua's death, like the earthquake, like his side being pierced with a spear. You now have the answer. Yeshua's side was pierced. After Yeshua died, a soldier pierced his side with a spear, so that blood and water flowed down the stake, down the earthquake crack, and onto the mercy seat formed by the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, Yohanan 19:34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The key thing here is that blood reached the mercy seat. A broken heart. Yeshua died of a broken heart at losing the presence of Father. And so all, and that's a physical rupture in of his heart. If you read the medical article that I referred you to a minute or two ago, it's a rupture of his heart. And so all the blood in his heart was released and water was released. This was necessary for sufficient volume of blood and water to run all the way down the crack. See the article cited above. This was independently verified by Ron Wyatt. Yeshua had only female chromosomes. The blood discovered on the mercy seat only contained one set of chromosomes, the female set, proving that Yeshua was born without a father. Not a single sin. Remember that Yahshua lived and died without committing a single sin. This is one of the three miracles of Yeshua. It is important to note that he was mocked, beaten, falsely accused, and tortured, and yet he did not sin. That is a remarkable exercise of his will and self-restraint, and certainly qualifies him to be king of all human kings and lord of all human lords, and seated on the highest throne in heaven as the most powerful created being in all creation. The veil in the temple was rent as Yahshua died. Remember Mark 15:37-38. And Yahshua cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This revealed that there was nothing in the temple, as the Ark of the Covenant and all the temple furniture were in the cave, 20 feet under the stake on which Yeshua was hanging. This also signified that there was now a new high priest, a new priesthood, and we no longer required a human priest to officiate on our behalf, because Yeshua had died so that he became a high priest, and we might officiate on our own behalf in his name. Note also that the curtain was ripped from the top, which was about 20 feet high, so this could not have been done by human beings. Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of Yah. It's important to note that Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of Yah when Yahuchanan immersed him, and that it was the Spirit of Yah in and on Yahshua, the anointing, incorrectly called Christ, that performed the miracles and spoke through Yahshua. So it was Yah, not Yahshua, who performed the miracles. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of the Almighty descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Matthew 3:16. Yeshua was instantly resurrected. When Yahushua died, he left his body and was instantly resurrected into heaven, because he had no sin, and therefore death had no hold on him. This immediately qualified him as the firstborn from the dead, and qualified him for the highest throne in heaven, and the most glorious body, and most powerful position, closest to Father Yah, the Lamb of Yah. It is important to remember that when he immersed Yahushua, Yehuchanan proclaimed Yahushua to be the Lamb of Yah. That remember that Yehuchanan was a member of the priesthood, so he had the authority to do this. The next, quoting again, the next day Yehuchanan seeing Yahushua coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of Yah, which taketh away the sin of the world. This made Yahushua the Lamb of the offering provided by Yah. This was necessary in order for Yahushua to fulfill the procedures laid down by Moshe, in order to be the perfect Lamb of the offering and induct a new priesthood, a new covenant, and an atoning sacrifice for sin. The Lamb of the offering. The night before he was betrayed, Yeshua proclaimed that the bread and wine were an acceptable proxy for his flesh and blood, and therefore believers everywhere to receive forgiveness of sin. Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. And as they were eating, Yahushua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to those who followed him and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This prepared the way for Yahushua to become the atoning offering for sin the following day, and for us to have access to that offering through bread and wine. This is an absolutely critical element of the spiritual legalities relating to the ministry of Yahushua. This allows you to officiate for your own release from sin at any time and wherever necessary, with no requirement for an intermediary priest or similar. Yahushua was and is 100% human. In considering all these points, it is vital to recognize that Yahushua was and is 100% human. He was born of a human mother with a relatively minor creative miracle, and he lived as a human. If he were not 100% human, he would have had no authority on earth, and he would have no authority now. Yah gave authority on earth to Adam. Adam gave that authority to Satan when he rebelled and ate the forbidden fruit, and Yahushua regained that authority by living and dying without sin, and then delegated the authority to those who follow him and live a sinless life. Yahushua was born of a virgin, so no bloodline curses. Because he was born of a pure virgin, Yahushua did not inherit bloodline curses, which would have happened with a human father. Judas, Yehuda, did Yah's will. In all of this, it is vital to understand that Yehuda, Judas Iscariot from Kerioth, was led by Yah to betray Yahushua. Then one of the 12, called Yehuda from Kerioth, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Matthew 26:15. Note also that after this, after Yeshua died, filled with remorse, Yehuda of Kerioth subsequently killed himself. Matthew 27:3-5. Then Judas, Yehuda, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Note further that Yahushua forgave all who dealt wrongly with him, Luke 23:33-34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they impaled him and the malefactors, one to the right hand, the other to the left. Then said Yahushua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So on this score alone, one can also be confident that Yahuda of Kerioth, Judas Iscariot, was forgiven, and therefore in all likelihood is in heaven today. Important to understand that, folks, the power of repentance, heartfelt repentance. It's written there that he repented. He certainly gave the outworking of his repentance. So he's probably in heaven. And if you've sat in judgment of him, you might want to think again, because he did what most believers do, and at some point in time, he misjudged the situation and made a bad decision. That's all I've got time for today. I'll complete the rest of this message next week, hopefully. But in the meantime, I really hope that you have seen how powerful this is, how careful the planning was. And if you're one of the people who thinks there's something wrong with the fact that Yeshua died, I ask you to think again. It was carefully planned by Yah and Yeshua together. So I'd like to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is just so, so, so important. The only reason that the universe exists, that the solar system exists, that the sun and earth exist, that the plants and the animals exist, that you exist, is to be a friend of Yah. All the rest is fluff and stuff. If you're not earnestly seeking to become his friend, if you're not fasting and praying, if you're not doing all the things that I've spoken about in previous programs to draw close to you, you're going to be so, so, so disappointed when you die. I can't stress it enough. It's so clear to me. It's so apparent to me that this is a huge opportunity for every person on earth. And I really urge you, if you've listened to this program, certainly if you've listened to a few programs and been challenged by them, please commit yourself today. It's so, so important. So a few references on the main menu web pages. There's a video at the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship? It's flagged as most important. This is the most important message I've created. Next to that, also on the top line of the menu, The Miracle of Yahushua's Death, which is the article on which this broadcast is based, which has got the photographs and the drawings and the web URLs. Urge you to go and read that. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. These are separate menu items on the web on the website. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. click on the show and then podcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, one word. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, this is so, so important. Yah has had a really rough ride with this whole contest, with the absolute corruption of his creation. It's a horrible mess. It's deeply painful for him. He created us to be his friends. It's not that difficult. I encourage you to start today seeking to become his friend. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your race, your religion, your denomination, your color, your education or lack of it, your wealth or lack of it. You can draw close to him right now, starting today. There's a huge amount on the website to help you. I urge you to get stuck in and go for it. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Good night. Father, I